In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Welcome to Healthy Matters, presented by Hennepin County Medical Center, a network of neighborhood clinics, specialty centers, hospital, and Minnesota's Level 1 Adult and Pediatric Trauma Center. Please remember, we can only give general medical advice during the program, and every case is unique. We urge you to consult with your personal physician if you have health concerns. Now, here's Denny Law with your host, Dr. David Hilden, internal medicine physician with Hennepin County Medical Center, with more Healthy Matters.
And good morning. On this first day of October, welcome to this edition of Hennepin County Medical Center's Healthy Matters. Good to see Dr. David Hilden back in studio.
Good morning, Denny.
And I thank Steve Thompson for filling in while I was on that Good Neighbor tour this past
It's always
days.
Good. Did you have a good tour?
And a great tour.
You were out east. You were seeing all the sights of
something
the government and history.
I had
right?
never seen before. You know, Gettysburg, walking through those fields and seeing part of the Smithsonian and Yorktown. And
wow. That must have been powerful.
It really was.
I'm glad to see you back. I thought you might be running the Twin Cities Marathon.
Yeah, I would have, but
I bet you would have.
You know I would be there if I didn't have to be here.
I know what a lover of running you are. For listeners who don't know, Denny always thinks I'm somewhat sandwich short of a picnic for running marathons at all. Yeah. Anyway, to all
unless
the
unless you're being chased by a tiger.
Unless so if you're not listening in downtown Minneapolis in about 25 minutes, the runners for the Twin Cities Marathon are leaving on a cold, windy, blustery, rainy day.
But you've done a lot of marathons, is not good for the runners.
No, well, the rain gets a little old. Yeah. You know, cold is okay. Cold is actually pretty good because everybody overheats on marathons. But the rain's a bummer because if you're a long-distance runner, you know you spend a great deal of money on your shoes. And part of it is to buy the lightest weight shoes you can. You want these little lightweight shoes that give good support. Well, it takes about 1 minute of a downpour to make your $200 lightweight shoes into a bunch of heavy, wet sponges. So the rain's kind of a bummer. But to all the runners, I know none of them are listening because they're all out stretching and things, but to all the runners, I hope you have a great run today, regardless of the conditions. I had one race, and I'm standing at the starting line in a downpour, literally in a downpour. And the announcer says, this is the one you're going to remember. So you remember the downpours. You don't remember the beautiful sunny days.
Well, we're not going to be doing a topic of running today, but we still will be inviting our listeners to join in via phone and text. What is our topic today?
We're going to talk about kids and their teeth and oral health. It's a topic we have not done in 9 years on the show. We've had kids' topics before, but this is a great one that we have some really good expertise at HCMC in oral health, in pediatrics, and in dentistry. So I'm going to introduce my three guests that I have in the studio today. And people might not know that listening to the show who know about HCMC. You know about some of the things we're really known for, and rightfully so. But you might not know that one of our larger departments is pediatrics. You might not know that we have an incredibly diverse and wide range of services in dentistry, run by my good friend Mary Syro. So it's an amazing program in both pediatrics and dentistry. So I got some folks from both of those departments to help me out. Starting us out is Dr. Eileen Crespo. She's a pediatrician, and apparently you did your schooling in New York or something, Eileen. Anyways, welcome to the show.
Thank you, David.
So tell me, where are you from? What you did? You went to school in peds in New York?
I'm actually originally from New York City.
Yeah.
And I went to medical school in Buffalo, New York. And then I met my husband there, and he's from St. Cloud, and that's how we ended up here.
Oh, he dragged you here.
He did.
Her husband's a surgeon. I know her husband. His name's John. And so it's his fault that you had to come to the upper Midwest. Yes. I didn't know that. How do you like it?
You know, I'm getting used to it. It's been 20 years, so it's growing on me.
So you're a pediatrician. Tell me about your practice, and specifically, how did you get interested in oral health? But for listeners, I'm going to introduce a couple of pediatric dentists next, but you're a pediatrician, not a dentist. How did you get interested in this topic?
When I finished my residency and started my practice, I noticed that each week I was having to see multiple patients and getting them ready for the operating room. To have their teeth pulled or capped, and I thought it was unusual because I'd never been aware that kids actually needed general anesthesia to take care of cavities. So as I continued to see every week multiples of children requiring sedated procedures to take care of their cavities, I myself just started just educating myself more about why this was happening and why in certain populations, because at HCMC, I specifically have a predominantly Latino practice. More than 90% of my patients speak Spanish, and I'm fluent in Spanish. And I noticed that it seemed like all of my patients were going to the operating room. So I just started to do more education of the families and really got interested in it. And then probably more than 10 years ago, we started putting fluoride varnish on during well-child visits, which is something that has become kind of main practice
in
now.
In pediatrics. You do.
Yep. So that's really where my interest started, and it's something that I'm really passionate about, and some might say somewhat obsessed about, is trying to decrease the rates of cavities in young children.
What a great thing. I love that. To joining you and me, and we have asked a couple of pediatric dentists. And so I'm going to introduce them. Dr. Andrea Leyland is a pediatric dentist. She is in the show today, in the studios with us, as well as Elizabeth Fulling. And both of you are, you specialize in kids mostly. Maybe, Andrea, you want to start us up. Where are you from?
I'm from Buffalo, New York.
Oh, get out of here. Are you both from Buffalo? Eileen's from Buffalo. You also?
I was born in Buffalo, New York, and I also trained at University of Buffalo like Dr. Crespo did.
Get out. Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize that. You too, Elizabeth, down there?
No.
Okay, good. I have been to Buffalo once. I think there were about 8 feet of snow on the ground the one time I was there. So tell me about your practice. You're a pediatric dentist. How did you get involved in that?
So I was a general dentist for 7 years before I decided to go into peds because I really liked kids. But I was in the Navy for 4 years, and now that I'm over 40, it seems like those 18, 19, and 20-year-olds are like kids. But I was their first—
Really, an 18-year-old naval seaman probably seems young.
They are really young. But I was their first dentist for many of them, and it was shocking. They actually had never been to the dentist before. And they would bring their parents to come meet their dentist because they were so excited to have the dental work done. And they were so thankful to have that, you know, opportunity to see the dentist in the Navy, that I knew that I wanted to go out and treat kids before they reached the teen and early 20s. I knew I wanted to go treat kids that were younger and have the opportunity to see a dentist.
Did they have literally no dental care all the way up to age 18?
That is correct.
What did their teeth look like? Was it just, this sounds awful, but was there like a cesspool of badness in there, or most did?
I got to know some of the Marines and Navy seamen really well. Because they did. They had multiple cavities. Sometimes it would be almost every tooth. So they had multiple visits, and we became close as they would come back and have all of their teeth done. So it was really interesting hearing where they came from and the fact that there weren't dentists in their area or they didn't have insurance or the opportunity to go.
Wow. And just quickly before I get to Dr. Fulling, how'd you land in Minnesota?
So the pediatric dentist was retiring at HCMC, and my husband is also a physician at HCMC, and he was recruited to run the hyperbaric chamber, so we thought we'd come.
Awesome. All right, fun. So my last guest is Dr. Elizabeth Fulling. She is also a pediatric dentist who is apparently not from Buffalo, New York.
That is true.
Where are you from, Elizabeth?
I'm originally from St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay, you're from St. Louis. So how did you end up in Minnesota, and how did you end up in pediatric dentistry?
Well, I ended up in dentistry. Eileen and David, I think you'll appreciate that. This both of my parents are physicians, and they said, never become a physician. You should become a dentist.
Because what wise parents you have.
They were always envious of the dentist's work week. So that's how I got into dentistry. And as I was going through dental school and immediately afterwards, I wasn't quite satisfied with the complexity of adult dentistry. So I elected to work with children because I love working with children, and also because it's more of a behavioral specialty really than a procedural specialty, and that's particularly what I love about it.
That's super cool. So there you have it. We have Dr. Eileen Crespo, Dr. Andrea Leyland, and Dr. Elizabeth Fulling. We're going to talk about pediatric oral health, particularly dental health, as you know, is basically what we're going to talk about. And I'm going to go back to you, Dr. Crespo, and say, why does this matter? A little, just give your thoughts. We just have a couple minutes before the break, but give your thoughts about the role of kids' oral health in their overall kind of development and health, if you could.
This, I think, is actually vitally important. What we know in pediatrics is that it's a practice mostly of prevention. We are meeting families and young children as they are developing their lifelong habits. And the things that they do when they're young really kind of carry through as they age and kind of grow up. So if we can incorporate oral health, good routines, healthy diet, we know that those things tend to kind of go with families. So I start with counseling regarding oral health very, very young. The recommendations now are to start brushing teeth as soon as they erupt. So that means 6-month-olds with that single little tooth should be having their teeth brushed every day, twice a day, with toothpaste. And I spend time talking about that and showing families what the amount of toothpaste is that they should be using, because we know that kids get used to their routines. And if they can start as young as possible, it becomes less of a struggle. Not that toothbrushing can't be a struggle. I have many families tell me that they can't get their kids' teeth brushed and they don't like it and they cry. But like everything else that they do for their children, I let parents know it's akin to immunizations, which I also think are vitally important, that in the same way that immunizations, you know, hurt, but parents do them because they know they're really important and they're doing something it's for their child's health. So I think that helps.
I never knew that about the brushing. I have two kids. They're both college age now. But I'm going to confess to all three of you, I don't think I did that. I don't think we brushed our kids' teeth when they were 6 months old and they were first coming out. Okay, so Eileen, say a teeny bit more about that. Do you buy like the world's smallest toothbrush? And how much toothpaste do you use?
Actually, so there are child-sized toothbrushes. If you go to any store, actually, so Target, Walmart, wherever you shop, and you go to the dental section, they have tiny little toothbrushes. But really for 6-month-olds who have one or two, you know, teeth, you can actually use just a washcloth. You just want to apply a very small amount of fluoridated toothpaste. You need to have fluoridated toothpaste. I tell the residents all the time, non-fluoridated toothpaste is like using water. You don't need to spend money on that because that actually is not going to help their teeth. So just using a very small amount that we tell families is akin to a rice-sized grain. So like just a tiny little bit, because they usually have one or two or four teeth, depending on the child.
Because you don't want them swallowing it, right?
You don't want them swallowing it, but they will. You don't want them swallowing mass quantities of it. So actually a small amount, you know they're going to swallow it, and that's okay as long as it's a very small amount.
All right, let's take our usual break right now. We invite our listeners to join in either by phone or by text. We're already receiving some text messages. The phone number is 651-989-9226. Text number is 81807. Light rain now falling in the Twin Cities. Temperature reading on this Sunday morning, October 1st, 57 degrees. Right now in the Twin Cities, 57 degrees and light rain this Sunday morning. If you're just joining us, we're in the midst of our Healthy Matters show. We're talking about pediatric oral health, and always welcome your phone calls and text messages. 651-989-9226, that's the number. There is a line open. Or text us at 81807. Here again is Dr. Hilden.
Thanks a lot, Denny. We are indeed talking about pediatric oral health and dentistry. I do want to, there's a couple other sort of housekeeping things. I do want to tell people about a really, really exciting thing happening next March, late March of 2018. HCMC is constructing and is 90% done building the state of Minnesota's most state-of-the-art clinic and specialty center at the corner of 8th and Park in downtown Minneapolis. In that six-story building of extremely state-of-the-art, patient-centered, warm opening clinic space, we have two new clinics, the pediatric clinic, of which Dr. Crespo is going to practice, and also we have the Delta Dental Oral Health Center, which is going to be a state-of-the-art dentistry clinic in downtown Minneapolis, and that's where Dr. Leyland and Dr. Fulling will be. In addition, we're starting a new pediatric dental residency, so in the second half of the show, I'm going to talk to our guests about that. One other thing, if you are a tweeter, go to my Twitter account, because right now I tweeted a picture of Dr. Crespo. And yesterday she was part of our pediatric teddy bear clinic at the emergency department that I had been talking about. And you can see a picture of her in a beautiful young child. And that's at my Twitter account, which is Dr. David Hilden, Dr. David Hilden, all one word. Check it out on Twitter. And you can see Dr. Crespo do in her element with kids. Okay, I want to talk to you, Andrea and Elizabeth, our two dentists. Why do cavities matter? So here's the deal. That's my question. Now a little background. Don't your baby teeth just fall out anyway? You get a cavity, you get a hole in the tooth, who cares? Why does it matter? Who wants to tackle that one?
I can take that one.
All right, thanks.
So the reason that cavities matter in baby teeth are because baby teeth matter. So even though they fall out for a period of 6 to 12 years, they play a really important role in a child's life. So they're crucial for eating and adequate nutritional intake, for speech and articulation, and for self-esteem and psychological well-being. So baby teeth have an important function, and we want to make sure that we preserve that function. The other problem with cavities is if they get large enough, they can cause a child to have pain or infection. And, you know, pain in teeth can interfere with their ability to eat comfortably. And when children are underweight or have nutritional deficiencies, that can affect cognitive development, physical development. You know, children in dental pain often have a hard time focusing in school. They may miss school days. They can be irritable. And in its most extreme and severe form, dental cavities can and have in occasional situations led to death. So it's really important to take care of those cavities.
So what exactly is it? Is it a hole in your tooth? Is that what a cavity is? Is it literally just a hole that happens because you didn't brush and you got back? But what causes it? I don't quite get it.
Sure. So it is basically a hole. Dental caries, which is the medical term for a cavity.
Yeah, caries is the term,
yes,
right?
Okay. Is actually a transmissible disease. So it's caused by specific bacteria that have learned how to adhere to the tooth structure. And these bacteria are also really good at taking sugar that we bring in through our mouth and converting it into acid. So that acid against the tooth structure causes the tooth to demineralize or dissolve. So a cavity is an area where the tooth has actually lost the mineral.
Okay. So now maybe Andrea, you could answer this. What do you do about it? You know, you get a kid with a hole in his or her tooth. What do you do about it? Do you put that silver stuff in there like I still have in my mouth from 1972? Is that what you do?
So it depends on how big that hole or cavity is. There's lots of different options, and it also depends on how old the child is. So silver that's probably in your mouth is amalgam.
Amalgam?
Amalgam.
It's not literally, so it's not like sterling silver,
right?
Or something. It's not worth anything.
No. Another option is a white tooth-colored filling, which is called composite. And what we do a lot of is we do stainless steel crowns, and that's because those back baby molars are typically in the mouth till kids are 12 or 13. So literally, it could be 7th or 8th grade before those baby teeth are falling out. And those crowns last a long time. Kids do a lot of grinding, and we want those restorations, crowns, fillings to last for a long time. And there's lots of different ways to do it. We have laughing gas, we have TVs, we sing to the kids, like Elizabeth was saying before. Behaviorally, we try to make it the most positive experience that we can to get the work done.
Seriously, you sing to the kids as you're like, this? I never had a dentist like this. My dentist didn't wear gloves. I mean, he had hairy hands. I'm still traumatized by it. This was in the 70s. He was a great dentist. But I still remember he didn't wear gloves. He had hairy hands. You sing and have TVs? I want to come to your dental clinic. Do adults ever ask if they can go?
They do. All of the parents are like, can I come here? Can I come here? And Dr. Fleming and I say, no, we just do children.
We just do kids. You can't come here. Okay, so we have a number of text messages, and a couple of them are about those baby teeth. And so if I could ask any of you to answer this question, my grandson is 14 months old and still has not gotten his first tooth. Should there be a concern?
I can tackle that. This is Dr. Crespo. Okay. So actually, delayed tooth eruption is actually pretty common. We see it often. I would say less than 5%, but so it's something that I've seen a number of times. There's some research showing that delayed tooth eruption is actually associated with decreased cavities. So if there aren't teeth there, obviously there's no cavities that can form. In general, if the child is otherwise healthy, the teeth will come, and they oftentimes will come kind of all together. So teething for those kids can be
all those poor parents
very uncomfortable. But yeah, they usually do come. So,
what's normal? When should people see their child's first tooth, Dr. Fulling?
Sure. So typically, the first tooth to come into the mouth is the central incisor, so the very middle tooth on the bottom arch, and a sort of a normal range for eruption of that tooth is between 5 to 8 months. But like Dr. Crespo said, we do see a really wide variation in the age in which kids begin to get their teeth.
I knew somebody who I think their kid was born with a tooth that had come out. Does that happen, or is that a myth?
No, that is a reality. So that's called a natal tooth or a neonatal tooth if it comes in around the age of birth. So we do see those in a certain percentage of children, and it's usually their normal tooth that has just come in very prematurely.
Just came in a little bit early. So we are talking about pediatric dental health. We have a number of text messages that we're going to get to after the top of the hour break. Also, if you want to chat with us, you can give us a holler and we'll talk on the air. I have Dr. Elizabeth Fulling, Dr. Andrea Leyland, and Dr. Eileen Crespo, all experts, pediatricians and dentists in oral health. And so we'll be carrying on in the second half of the show talking about your child, your grandchild's teeth.
And if you want to make an appointment, there's always that famous number to call.
The number is easy, 612-873-MYMD. That stands for 612-873-6963. If you want to get in touch with any of our providers at HCMC, including the three doctors on the show today, you might not know about our amazing pediatrics and dentistry departments. 612-873-6963.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And good morning. Welcome back to this edition of Hennepin County Medical Center's Healthy Matters. Dr. Hilden in studio with the guests. And in fact, if you're joining us a little bit late, maybe we could kind of step back a little bit and tell everybody on this Sunday morning, 1st of October, who you brought with. We have a whole studio filled.
We have a studio filled. We're talking about kids and their dental health. We're talking to Dr. Eileen Crespo, a pediatrician with a special interest in kids and their teeth. We also have Dr. Andrea Leyland, who is a pediatric dentist, and Dr. Elizabeth Fulling, who is also a pediatric dentist. And these are the experts you want to go see, or you want your children or you want your grandchildren to go see. If you've been listening to the first half of the show, my first impression was, boy, if my kids weren't young adults now, these are the people I'd want them to go see. And you, I would encourage you as well. They practice at our HCMC practice here in downtown Minneapolis. And we have, if you're not familiar, HCMC has clinics all over the western, northern, and southern metro area. We have clinics that we're a system of healthcare clinics. We're in the North Loop of downtown Minneapolis. That's our newest clinic. We have the Whittier Clinic in South Minneapolis. We're in Brooklyn Park, Brooklyn Center, Richfield. We're on East Lake Street over by the river. We're in Golden Valley. And, of course, we're in downtown Minneapolis. The number to reach any of our doctors, including our dentists, is 612-873-6963. I also want to encourage you to go to the blog. It's called myhealthymatters.org. Just take the name of this show, put the word my in front of it, make it all one word, myhealthymatters.org. I have a little blurb about acupuncture and chiropractic. If you were listening 2 weeks ago, I had a couple of practitioners, Dr. Peter Polsky and Robert Crane, were in. And so if you want to learn more about that, You want to listen to a podcast of this show or any of our previous shows, you just go to myhealthymatters.org. Accessing the podcast is very easy. Many hundreds of people do it every month, and you can listen to the show on your own time. So back to dental health. We were talking a little bit about cavities and the importance of baby teeth and the like. I'd like to shift gears a little bit to diet and what kids are eating and its effect on health, if we could. The reason I want to do that is I'm getting some text messages about that, and I'm also quite curious about it. And so do you want to start with that one, Eileen? What about diet and dental health? My kid drank a lot of Mountain Dew, you know, things like that. Does it matter what we eat in our teeth?
Absolutely. This is something that I spend a lot of time counseling on during our well-child visits when kids are coming for their annual checkups. So even starting from very, very young children, the role of juice in diets, too many kids drink too much juice. The AAP just recently recommended no juice for children under 2 years of age.
Really? Those little juicy boxes things or those sippy cups that we used to fill with juice?
The parents love to have and are so portable, and kids are able to have them in their little backpacks.
So why not? What's the problem?
Well, juice contains sugar, lots and lots of sugar, and sugar is what bacteria in your mouth use to create acid, and that leads to cavities. So the best thing for kids to be drinking is water. I usually recommend water and low-fat milk for most kids. Between meals, they should be drinking water. They shouldn't be carrying on a juice cup, and they certainly shouldn't be using a bottle after 12 months of age. That is something I also spend a lot of time counseling on. We have many families who are dependent on bottles during the day and at nap time and bedtime, and that is one of the kind of highest risk behaviors is drinking any beverage that contains sugar at nap time or bedtime.
So is the problem the sugar in the bottle, or is the problem the sucking motion on the bottle?
It's the sugar in the bottle.
Yeah.
So I tell families, for those kids who love that bottle or who can't sleep, parents will tell you that the kids can't sleep if they don't drink milk at night or drink juice. They can have all the water that they want. But what parents will find out that it's a behavioral issue and they just want that milk. So if you give them a bottle of water, they will kind of be very unhappy and sometimes throw that bottle out of the crib or wherever they are, because it's really not thirst. It's the habit that they have. It's actually called a trained night feeder. There's actually a diagnosis and a wow. billing code for that.
So for you, Andrea and Elizabeth, the dentists in the studio, do you see what do you tell families when they say, yeah, but my kid, everyone's got Mountain Dew, and I don't want to pick on Mountain Dew, everyone's drinking juice, and at the soccer game, the job of the parent is to bring the juice boxes. So how do you fight against that kind of cultural trend?
It definitely is. That was our station at the Teddy Bear Clinic yesterday. We had all of the drinks that the kids love to have, juice boxes, chocolate milk boxes. I don't want to pick on any one thing. And we put little things of sugar next to it so you could visualize how much sugar was in those drinks. And people were surprised. The kids were surprised. The parents were surprised. And so I have kids, so I'm going to tell parents, I can't say you can never have those things because that would be totally unrealistic. But if you're having a birthday party or a pizza night or a special occasion, then absolutely enjoy that one pop or juice box, but not have it be an everyday thing.
Not an everyday thing. Yeah, that's excuse me. That's probably really good advice. I remember growing up with just the Kool-Aid in the envelopes, and I think we took snow shovels full of sugar and put it. You remember that, Denny?
Oh yes.
You remember that stuff? You'd buy that sugar. Literally, you'd take like a cupfuls of it and throw it in there. But that was obvious to us. It's probably a little less obvious to parents now.
We also get, I have organic juice, or it's juice, isn't it healthy? And that's got to be better than lemonade, but it all has sugar in it. And some people think that sugar's only in candy, but it's in carbohydrates. It's in cookies, chips, crackers, things that kids eat every day. And you just have to do things in moderation.
Could we talk a little bit about the mechanics of kids and their development? It's a little bit of a shift to something else because it also comes from a text messenger. And I was alluding to that with a bottle. And apparently the bottles maybe are sort of okay. But this text message is about pacifiers and the like. When you in your dental clinic see, you know, kids and children, some of them have been sucking on pacifiers for a long time. Is that okay?
So Having a child used to a sucky motion is physiological and normal up to a certain point. So bottles, breastfeeding, pacifiers are normal. Prolonged use of those can alter the way that the teeth sit in the mouth and can create what we call malocclusions, so a disorder of the way the teeth fit together. So we try to recommend to parents that they start to discontinue those pacifier habits by the age of 3. If habits are discontinued early enough, then the teeth can go back to their more natural position, and we don't see any lasting harmful effects from those habits.
I remember we had to, I think we had to hide the things, or we had to, you might see that in your practice, and parents are saying, I can't wrest that pacifier away from my kid. And you got like this 5-year-old who's got a pacifier and you're burying them in the yard, trying to get rid of them so they can't find them. It just seemed like it wasn't something we were supposed to do. Let's again, on the mechanics and the growing in of your teeth. We have a texter calling or contacting us about braces and the like, and what time that sort of might happen. So this says, my grandson got braces at age 8. This is a many-year process. He had plenty of space between his teeth. Why so early? My kids only started at 12. So again, about the your teeth growing in, is that normal?
That is normal.
It's normal?
That's normal. Orthodontist.
Dr. Leland, I thought you were going to say, no, that's really early.
Every child's growth and development is different. Girls are faster than boys. So every child's different, and they can be evaluated by an orthodontist as early as 7 years old. Sometimes for some children, it's better to wait till all of the adult teeth fall out and, like you said, move forward at the age of 12 with their braces. But some people have other issues and need a little intervention earlier and can start braces as early as 8, and that is normal.
That is normal.
Phase 1 orthodontics.
That's called phase 1?
Yes.
How many phases are there?
2, typically.
Oh, there's 2. Okay. I was afraid you were going to talk about, there's phase 4, 5, and 6. Okay, we have to take a break. We're talking about dental health today on the show.
And if you have a question, you can bring it to us either by phone or by text, 651-989-9226, or send us a text, 81807. In the Twin Cities, mostly cloudy skies. Our CCO temperature reading holding at 57 degrees. And good morning. Welcome back to this portion of Hennepin County Medical Center's Healthy Matters. We're talking about pediatric oral health this morning. Welcoming, as usual, your phone calls and text messages. And as Dr. Hilden said, we have a lot of text messages to pour through. Should we get back to some of those?
Well, let's do that. I want to talk a little bit. I want to circle back to Dr. Crespo in her pediatric practice. When we were talking about juices and it's too much sugar and how do you get your kids not to do that, how do you help parents in counseling their kids with that? Do they just want you to do it, or how do you empower parents in that way?
It's something that we wanted to be sure we covered today, is that I will often have a parent ask me to tell their 2 or 3-year-old not to eat candy or not to drink juice. And I, of course, refuse because a 2 or 3-year-old doesn't pick his own diet or buy things from the store. Obviously, only the parent or grandparent, auntie, whoever is around that child who is providing those unhealthy snacks. So I definitely put it right back on the parents, and I say, who buys the food at your house and who makes the decisions about what your child eats? And parents kind of sheepishly admit, of course, that they are the ones who provide all things for their children. So it's something that is developmentally normal for children to want to eat candy and eat treats, and it's the parent's job to really control the amount that is really getting to their child. So, I spend a lot of time doing a lot of counseling during well-child visits and multiple other visits as I review their growth charts, look at their weight, and certainly during well-child visits, talking about their teeth and oral health. So it's something that I really feel strongly about.
That's a great point. I mean, that's a really good point. Who's in charge here? Who's buying the food for that 3-year-old?
Yeah,
who's
it goes back to right. It's the basics of parenting. Is parents are, providing all things for their children. They're setting the example. They're buying food. They're setting bedtime, routines and schedules. And if they're not doing that, as a pediatrician, I feel like I need to call them out on that and just say, don't try to tell me that your 2-year-old doesn't go to bed till 1 o'clock in the morning, because that's only happening because you're allowing it to happen.
Because you're allowing it. You have a complicated practice, all 3 of you, because you have 2 patients in the room. You have the kid and then you have their parents. At least in mine, I can just yell at the patient right away. I'm going to shift a little bit because we don't have a ton of time left, but I wanted to talk about access to care in dental care. There was actually a text message earlier that was more about financing and insurance, and we didn't get to that. But what I really want to talk about is how families get their kids into dentists. Andrea, can you speak to that a little bit?
So I come from actually training in Philadelphia for my pediatric dental training, and there were three residencies there, and there were a lot of pediatric dentists. So it was really interesting when I moved here. I started going to meetings to realize that there aren't that many pediatric dentists in the state.
In Minnesota, there aren't.
In Minnesota. And then the general dentists sometimes feel a little nervous treating the kids. But then looking at it, out of 87 counties in Minnesota, only 20 have pediatric dentists. And we knew that we need to have more in the state.
Wait a minute. Can I go back to that? There's 87 counties in Minnesota, and only 20 of them have a pediatric dentist in the whole county?
Correct, as a specialist, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So we are starting a advanced education in pediatric dentistry residency at HCMC. We just got approved, and we started September 1st. So we have our first new resident, and we are excited to have two more next summer. And we're hoping that the people that come through HCMC have the same passion for caring for the patients that we do, and that they're going to stick around and continue to do so.
That's absolutely fantastic. So this program is to train specifically pediatric dentists.
Correct.
As I said at the top of the show, I think some people aren't always clear what everything we offer at HCMC. And one of the things I try to do on this show is to tell people what we offer, not to just toot our own horn, but to let people of Minnesota and the upper Midwest know what they have in terms of the healthcare systems we have. We're blessed with great healthcare in Minnesota, and I feel extremely fortunate to get to work at HCMC for all of the services we offer. And one of the things we haven't highlighted so much is the dentistry care and the pediatric care that we offer. And so I really appreciate hearing that not only are we providing that care, but we're helping to train the next generation of providers. While we're still on that point, Andrew, what does a residency in pediatric dentistry look like? These are people that are already dentists and are getting a specific training. Is that what it is?
So they get 24 months of advanced education so they can understand the growth and development of children, so they can learn the behavioral techniques to hopefully get the child through the appointment and help them with their oral health. And then they learn things about oral conscious sedation, going to the operating room, things that are beyond what you learn in regular dental school.
You mentioned the sedation issue. I've been curious to this. How do you operate or do cleanings or do cavity work on a kid? Do you sedate children, or what do you do?
We do. It depends on the severity of their decay, how many teeth need treatment, if they've had failed appointments before. We always try to be as conservative as we can, but every situation's different.
Yeah. Do you actually use general anesthesia for some kids?
We do. We go often. Sometimes, like Eileen's saying, we have these three-year-olds. They have 20 teeth, and they might have 16 cavities. There's no way that a three-year-old can sit through all of that work. And as we've spoke to before, it's important that we maintain those teeth for all of those things that Dr. Fulling talked about.
Yeah. A three-year-old, I don't think I could sit through that. Yeah, so that's incredible. We have Dr. Elizabeth Fulling, Dr. Andrea Leigh, Eileen Crespo. Dr. Crespo is a pediatrician, and Andrea and Elizabeth are pediatric dentists. If you want to get a hold of any of them, learn more about our practice, go to myhealthymatters.org, and you can hear a podcast of this show. Go to hcmc.org, and you can find how to get a hold of them, including making appointments. Or as I like to remind people, just give us a holler at 612-873-6963. That's 612-873-6963.
And what are we going to be doing next week on the show?
I think you're going to try to stump me on an open line show. Get your healthcare questions and about anything, although maybe not about dental health, because, I missed that day in med school. They don't teach us anything about dentistry in med school. So it's an open line show next week.
Good deal. We'll see you back here next week. Thank you very much. In the Twin Cities, mostly cloudy skies, 57 degrees. Your money straight ahead here on 830 WCCO.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.